We ended our series last week in The Good and Beautiful God. And The Good and Beautiful God series is from a man written, the man that wrote it, his name is James Bryan Smith. He's a man who is connected, and if you talk to him, he will tell you in his lifetime he has been in the right place at the right time, meaning Richard Foster is one of his just chummy buddies, okay, who we've used a quote from, Ragamuffin, help me out. Brennan Manning, just yet another one of his chums. Dallas Willard, another one of his chums. So this guy is just connected with, I guess I would classify them as spiritual giants, and if they heard that word, they would cringe because they wouldn't classify themselves as that. But they're guys that really strike a chord with me when they write in their writings. And so if you get a chance, if you do anything with the Amazon Christmas money that you may or may not have received, go buy The Good and Beautiful God. Go buy it. Go be a part of it. In the end of each chapter, there are soul training exercises. And at first, they seem kind of hokey because some of them are like, just spend some time outside looking around at things, writing the things down that you see in nature. And what it's designed to do is to slow you down. And if you're anything like me, that's hard. I want to see a movie. I want to not sit and read a book. I want to just go, go, go. I don't want to sit and stare at nature. Nature's dumb. There's no Wi-Fi in nature. Okay? There's no stupid cat videos in nature. There's stupid cats. But there's no just funny videos that people have captured, right? Like, I don't want to have to do that myself. That's too much work. But do yourself a favor and go buy this book. Read this book. Don't do it by yourself. Do it with a group of people. Do it with a trusted friend. Do it with your small group, your LTG, whatever it is, whatever it looks like, you'll find benefit in it. So we've ended that, and now we're in the typical New Year's weird gap where there's only like 20 of us here. Actually, there's a lot more of you here now than I anticipated. So thank you for coming to church. I was talking with the band and joking with them. I said, it's a good thing that New Year's is after church so people don't have to come in and feel guilty for getting wasted and doing stupid things. On church, at church, right? Now you have all these days in between that period that you can feel guilty and stew in it. And then you come to church and you ask for forgiveness or however it is you reconcile these things in your mind. The goal this year would be for you not to go do stupid things. That's what we prayed about for you as the band. We know you. You're like me. You're going to do something stupid. So we thought, let's just get ahead of this in prayer and pray, God, may your voice be louder than the stupid voices in our head that tell us this is the right thing to do. You've been prayed for that over, all right? I don't know as you like that. Maybe you just want to go get blitzed. I don't know. But so we're in this weird gap of how do we teach you when our other population comes back, the students, and we come together again and we learn more. We're actually going to go into the good and beautiful life after this, and we'll start teaching through that. So little spoiler, if you want to get the book and start reading through that, do it, okay? And then you won't even have to come to church for that whole gap or that 9 weeks that we'll be teaching. That's a lie. Don't do that, okay? So we're in this gap, and who, you know, we get to this season and we're like, you know, we got to make some different choices because it's an end of an era. 2018 is done with in a few days. 2019 is just right here. Who do we want to be in 2019, right? How do we want to be in 2019? What do we do with this light that we talked about last week, how we spend our light, right? What do we do with that? Any ideas? Do you guys make New Year's resolutions? No. Some of you do. How many of those have you actually completed? In years past, none, right? Oh, this year I'm going to go outside and like nature. Don't get me wrong, I love nature, but I have to be on a motorcycle to enjoy it, okay? Okay? That's a little hard in Laramie in the winter months. This year, I'm going to get that bikini bod I've always needed. Got to look good on the beach, right? All the Wyoming beaches that we have. This year I am going to save some money, right? I'm going to get out of debt. This year I am going to take up horseback riding. This year I am going to fill in the blank with whatever it is that you're thinking about. And I have to think about this. I've got a mentor. His name's Phil Claycomb. Do you guys remember when Phil came and spoke from Nexus? Gave a huge, impactful teaching about when we are Jesus people, we do the things that Jesus did. Right? Phil Claycomb calls and says, hey, I need you to send me your goals for 2019. Louise is laughing, and probably my wife, because they know that anything on paper or bullet points or anything else is not me, right? Or math or timelines or anything that has to do with anything, right? Unless it's guitars. I know guitars, right? So he says, I need you to send me your goals for 2019. So I'm sitting here fleshing this out, and I'm thinking, okay, well, everybody else is probably doing this in their own way somehow for 2019. And what I find is a lot of my goals are very selfish. One of the goals I had this year is there was this vintage guitar. Here we go, back to guitars. Vintage guitar that I acquired last summer from some friends. It was their grandfather's. He'd passed away. They're trying to move this vintage equipment. And I fell in love with one of these pieces I was commissioned to help move. Sell to someone else, not myself, right? And I fall in love with this guitar. And so my goal in the summer was, by December, I want to have this thing mine, my own. Okay? Now, this is thousands of dollars we're talking about. This isn't some small purchase, right? So all of my energy, all of my, let's say, expendable income, if that's even a thing, all of everything that I'd been given through birthdays, Christmases, holidays, anything, has been saved up for this one piece of gear. Which means I have this nice little flower pot. It's a little watering pot that someone gave me for ministry purposes, and now I use it to store cash in. So if you want to rob me, it's in my closet, top shelf. My gun is here. My cash is here. Come grab the cash if you need it. It's fine. There's none in there now. Right? So my goal was a very selfish goal, and oddly enough, you know, I achieved this goal from some generosity of other people. Someone left a generous donation, and my wife was dumb enough to give it to me in our mailbox, and then she's now not happy with that decision, right? It's my story. That's what happened. Actually, no, she's a very generous woman. And anyway, all of this comes down, and that was my goal for 2018. If you would ask me how I wanted to spend 2018, this is literally my thought process, is acquiring gear. Now, as a pastor, I look at that and I say, that's probably off course from where God is calling me to. It's probably off course to the greater things that God has me doing. Now, what I do in my mind is I justify it, right? Well, I use these tools for worship, so I need 25 of them, right? I need more, because gear is evolving, and this music equipment is something that I need more than anything else in life. And it's more than something that my neighbor needs. Ooh. When God starts talking like that, I got to start paying attention, and I got to start reevaluating, okay, this is a lot of money that I'm hoarding to myself, right? And this is just one area of my world. This is just one area of my life that has to come under the microscope. But I don't like putting it under the microscope, because what I find is when I start giving pieces of my world over to Jesus, I find things start changing, and not in a way that is a direct benefit to me as I think it should be. Does that make sense? When you start giving away things, when you start giving away stuff, when you start giving away your light, your time, how you spend it, it's going to come back to you in a different way than which you spent it. And you may not like how it comes back, because it doesn't look like more stuff necessarily. It doesn't look like more time necessarily. It doesn't look like this incredibly happy-go-lucky life that we want. right? C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity spoke to this. Long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God which will make him happy, right? He says this, "The reason why it can never succeed is this. God made us, invented us as a man invents an engine. A car is made to run on gasoline." Now, this was written in a time before these Priuses and battery-operated vehicles came out, right? So he's talking about a gasoline engine. So before you start just totally tearing this argument apart, okay? It's a gasoline engine is what he's talking about. Just as a car is made to run on gasoline, and it would not run properly on anything else. Now, God designed the human machine, that's us, to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. That is why it is not. That's why it is just no good asking God to make us happy, right, in our own way, without bothering about religion. God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from himself, because it is not there. There is no such thing. This is something I don't have figured out, okay? This is something I'm not coming at you with saying, just follow my lead, you'll be poor, you'll all have guitars, you may not know how to play them, but we'll all have a good time, okay? This is something that I don't have figured out in my world. I'm figuring it out piece by piece in this last decade of being with you, in this last decade of going and trying to see Jesus for who he is in every area of my world. I call it putting it under the microscope. That's every piece of our existence, my existence. And I say, how does this match up to God's? Now, what I haven't done in the past is I haven't really set out with goals for myself or written anything down or done any of this goal-oriented stuff in my world, because I don't know as I like to ask that question. I don't like it. Because ignorance is bliss, right? When you leave God out of the equation, you're achieving your own false happiness outside of God. And what you find later, as I have found and am finding, that it's empty when it comes to where God is, where God is asking me to be, where God is asking my heart to be in regards to my neighbors, in regards to my coworkers, I love you, in regards to my own leadership here. It's an uncomfortable question to ask, because I know that once I start asking those kinds of questions, God is going to speak. And he's going to want to change my heart in this. And Scripture talks about time. It's an interesting thing, how we spend our light. There's this passage in Ecclesiastes 3. If you've ever been to a funeral, you've heard it, because people don't know how to handle death, right? People don't know what to say about death. And this passage actually has some things to say about death. There's like one little line in there. Can I read it to you? It says this. In Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 15, but we're going to stop at 8. It says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die." This is how it gets into a funeral message. That's it, right? They should just stop after that. "A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, and a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, and a time to seek and a time to lose, and a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence," oh man, that's a tough one, "and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." Some of you have heard the song, right? Maybe you didn't know that that was Scripture. I don't know. So Scripture talks about all of these different times and all of these different areas of our world and all of these different things. And we know that these things happen, right? We know that these things happen in our world. We know that these things are happening to us, around us, because of us. But a lot of times we don't see God in it. We're just running unchecked. We're running like dogs off a leash. Just trying to find anything that will fill our bellies, anything that will fill our appetite, anything that will make us happy, minus Him. But the Ecclesiastes writer goes on. We can't stop there. It says this: what gain has the worker from his toil? From all of these times and how we spend our life, what gain do we have? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. All of those things that we just listed. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity into man's heart. Yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceived that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it nor taken away from it. God has done it so that the people fear before Him. That which has already been, has been. That which is to be, already has been. And God seeks what has been driven away. It's this amazing thing where we acknowledge this timepiece that we have and all these different areas that we can spend our life, and this Ecclesiastes writer brings it back to the author of all of it. The God, our Creator, this Creator that had has created us to run on the fuel of His Spirit, the fuel of His kindness, the fuel of His generosity, the fuel of His never-ending love, grace, mercy, peace, patience, joy, all this stuff, right? It comes back to God. And if in our estimation and if our, in our ways of doing business on earth as Jesus-loving people, that should be ours as well. It should come back to God, shouldn't it? In this goal of 2019, in this creating New Year's resolutions for yourself, in this way of being, every piece of us, every fiber of us, everything that we do and touch and say, speak, see, anybody that's in front of us, everything should fall under this lifestyle. God first. God, what do you have to say about this? Now, it sounds abrasive, right? It sounds abrasive. I don't want to ask that question. Adam, you sound like a religious freak. You sound like a religious nut. You sound like someone who... Are you saying that God is everything or should be everything in our worlds? Yes. It's taken me a long time to learn this, continually learning this. But if you want to see your broken world healed, start with God. If you want to see your situation change in your family, start with God. If you want to see your unforgiving heart begin to forgive from wounds that you've been carrying around, baggage that you've been hauling all these years because you refuse to forgive someone, start with God. If you want to be a better parent in your household, start with God. All of these things that we think of in terms, your beach body, start with God. But the motive behind and the motivation behind what these things are and these things that are close and dear to your heart, I want to not be addicted to substance anymore. That's a good thing. That's pure. But the only thing that's going to get you through that is God. I want to be financially sound. Why? When you are financially sound, what God will tell you is that nothing you own is yours. Even when you're not financially sound. Did you know that? Why? Why do you want to be financially sound? So I can start building wealth. Why do you want to start building wealth? So I can buy a guitar, right? Or I want to be in the best financial situation I can be in so that I can be a giver. Because God's going to challenge you on that. God's going to challenge every piece of everything that you own. This idea of 10% is beautiful, and if all of you guys would begin to give 10%, there'd be no financial issues here at the church, ever. If every one of us was pulling our own weight. 10% is fun and beautiful, but it's 100% that God is asking of us. Now, not write your whole paycheck and live in the gutter, okay? But everything that you have, your home is a place to invite people in and tell them about Jesus. Your home is a place to feed hungry people. Your home is a place to look around at the clothing in your closets and say, someone else could use all of these clothes that I can't even fit in. That doesn't happen to me, but I heard other people have that issue, right? Your home is a place with closets filled with winter coats and gloves that you never wear. And there's a lot of people that are cold outside right now that don't have those things, right? You start seeing the world differently. Start with God. There is a doctor, professor of biblical studies. His name is Nofel Staton. He's an older guy, right? He's written a lot of books, Hearing God, 8 Steps to Understanding the Bible. There's only 8, so that should be easy for us, right? Heaven-Bound Living, Light for the Journey, and How We Know the Will of God. And he starts unpacking things like this. It's a long quote. Let me read it to you. It says this: his hometown friends heard that Jesus was committed to love those they hated to love. Touch the untouchables, help the helpless, befriend the friendless, welcome the unwanted, free the fettered, partner with the poor, involve the incarcerated, and bring optimism to the oppressed. By relating to those kinds, Jesus challenged the prejudices and hatreds fed not only by secular leaders and followers, but also by religious leaders and followers. When his hometown folks heard this, they tried to kill him, the first recorded attempt to eliminate the earthly visit of God with skin on. I love that line. He goes on to say, however, that did not distract Jesus from doing what he came to do. This is where we have to start paying attention. This is where we have to start seeing the things that Jesus did. This is where we have to start seeing the things that we do now and weigh them under the things that Jesus did. You ready? It didn't distract Jesus from doing what he came to do, to be a relational show and tell of God. He did not just tell a leper he would be healed, but he also did the unacceptable. He touched him. God is like that, and so should we be. He stood alone with a woman caught in adultery and forgave her. God is like that, and so should we be. He allowed a well-known sinful woman to touch him, wet his feet with her tears, and wipe them with her hair, which was a dynamic demonstration of his acceptance of her value. God is like that, and so should we be. He helped a non-Jewish widow, gave a new lease on life to a woman who had been married 5 times and was living with a man to whom she was not married. God is like that, and so should we be. He allowed women to tell men the good news that he had risen. God is like that, and so should we be. He invited some of the most unlikely to be his partners to expand his ministry. God is like that, and so should we be. He bragged about the generosity of a very poor widow. God is like that, and so should we be. He criticized religious leaders for prioritizing rituals and traditions above helping hurting people. God is like that, and so should we be. On the cross, he saved a criminal others despised. God is like that, and so should we be. And he refused to be controlled by religious leaders who were hooked on non-biblical traditions. God is like that, and so should we be. God modeled through Jesus what it means to be fully human in an inhuman world. He goes on to say, Jesus committed himself to love those others hated to love. Through Jesus' actions and reactions, we know that God is willing to leave the crowd to search for only one lost person. And so should we. He is interruptible and approachable. And so should we. He waits for a rebellious son to return, runs, hugs, kisses, and restores him. And so should we. He buddies up with the poorest of the poor and the richest of the rich. And so should we. He cares for minor problems such as fever and major problems such as leprosy. And so should we. He takes time to wash feet and feed thousands. And so should we. He is comfortable talking and walking with both little-known and well-known people, and so should we. He pays taxes to the government, and so should we. He goes the second mile to help someone, and so should we. He forgives whatever a person has done, and so should we. He offers eternal life to everyone, and so should we. How is your light going to be spent in 2019? Church, this is a big foundational thing that if we can together move beyond our own little myopia that we've made for ourselves, our own little slice of heaven that we think we have, and start seeing the bigger picture of where God is at work around us, don't stop there. See how God is asking you to be involved in that work around you. See where God is calling you to spend your time, your light, your finances, your joy, your hurt. Some of you are lonely. God's calling you into community. Some of you are broken by addiction. You know what? We help with that here. You ever heard of death wishes? Some of you are looking for extreme discipleship, and I don't know of any better way than to find someone that you know and love and trust and get into an LTG, a life transformation group with them, that can speak life into you, that can speak life into your blind spots, as together you see what Jesus has to say about your world. You see what God has to say about your world and every piece in it. And as together you guys try to figure that out and work towards something that is greater than yourselves. This is a big thing, and it's not going to happen overnight. But I pray that you're questioning right now, how will my light be spent in 2019? God, you help us with that. You help us orient our goals around you. As your creation, as we run on your Holy Spirit, as we run on the things that you have created us to run on, God, guide us to the places where you are at work in our worlds. Guide us to the places where you are calling us to be at work in our worlds. God, may we start with you always and forever, no matter what comes in our world, in our lives. May we see you for who you really are. May we do the uncomfortable and give you full reign over our schedules, our time, how our light is spent. May we hear your voice first before our own. May we choose to love you so greatly that obedience is just the natural action and reaction to when you speak. That the feet dragging would be minimal. God, let us hear you. Let us see you. Let us spend our light how you would have us spend our light. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, Amen.